Chapter 10, Qualifying Your Borrower. Qualifying your borrower as to whether or not they are a good bet to pay you back is the trickiest part of lending private money. Some people believe that good character is the best measure, while others believe that scores will make the difference. You also need to be aware of how much money they have in the bank, how much cash they can get their hands on, how much is in a retirement savings plan, and are they frivolous with money? What is their debt-to-income ratio, and how do they plan on paying the loan back? This is just the tip of the iceberg. Some lenders are more concerned about the deal and base their loan off of the asset collateral. These lenders are not the type of lender that cares about the borrower getting out of the deal because they believe that the worst case is that they will get the house for their portfolio. Also, they tend to lend a lower loan-to-value amount. I have known many private lenders who say they are going to only lend to people they already know or have been referred by someone they know. Don't be fooled by thinking that this will make a difference. Everyone who borrows money has every intention of paying it back. Bad things happen to everyone, and everyone is faced with unexpected crisis in their life. Knowing that life throws curveballs, we loan based on the deal, their character, cash on hand, debt-to-income ratio, experience, and the likelihood that they have the ability to refinance if they cannot sell the property. Some of our borrowers may be weak in one area and strong in another, but we look at each deal and borrower individually. After doing the hard research, we then use our gut as well. Red flags stand out to me pretty clearly, and if I catch someone in a little white lie, they have blown it with me. I even take into account how far they are from the property they are rehabbing and what kind of team they have on the ground. Debt ratio and how to calculate it. There are two types of debt-to-income ratios that lenders look at when you apply for a mortgage. The front-end ratio, also called the housing ratio, shows what percentage of your income will go toward your housing expenses, including your monthly mortgage payment, real estate taxes, homeowners insurance, and association dues. This is typically for owner-occupied lending. The back-end ratio shows what portion of your income is needed to cover all of your monthly debt obligations. This includes credit card bills, car loans, child support, student loans, and any other debt that shows on your credit report that requires monthly payments plus your mortgage payments and other housing expenses. To calculate the front-end ratio, add up your expected housing expenses and divide it by how much you earn each month before taxes, your gross monthly income. Multiply the result by 100, and that is your front-end DTI ratio, debt to income. For instance, if all your housing-related expenses total $1,000 and your monthly income is $3,000, your DTI is 33%. To determine the back-end ratio, add up your monthly debt expenses with your housing expenses and divide the result by your monthly gross income. For instance, suppose you pay $200 per month for a car loan, $50 per month for student loans, and about $100 per month in credit card bills. That adds up to $1,350 in monthly debt obligations, including housing expenses. Based on a monthly income of $3,000, your back-end ratio would be 45%. Now, having showed you how to figure the debt ratio, will you really use it? I am not saying that you have to. All I am saying is that you just need to feel comfortable that your borrower has a way to make their payments on your loan. Now, if you are making a loan with no payments, then you do not need to worry about it. But I do not recommend making a loan where the borrower doesn't make monthly payments. The application. In this section, I am going to share not only what we do to qualify a borrower, but also what others do. In our office, we have our borrowers fill out a 1003 application. This is the standard mortgage application for all residential loans. There are others you can choose from, and technically you are not supposed to use this application on a commercial loan, but it shows many things that you can use to help qualify your borrower. The 1003 credit application asks for much more information than than most private lenders will ever need, and some borrowers don't like filling it out because it's so in-depth. I really like it because I want to see if my borrower will qualify for a conventional refinance if he can't sell the property. I have the borrower fill out my application in their personal name, but the loan will always be in an entity like a corporation, partnership, or trust of some kind. If there are partners, then each partner must fill out an application as well. With that application, I am collecting copies of corporate articles, an operating agreement showing who can sign for the company, their tax EIN number, two forms of ID, two most recent months of bank statements, both personal and company, W-2s or tax returns, and retirement account statements. Credit applications documents. I have included in this course the standard 1003 application as well as a simple one-page application that you can choose from to decide which one you would like to use and feel most comfortable with. You can also create your own and include the information that you want to get from your borrower. Credit reports and background checks. I used to pull credit reports, but I have found that if I pull a background check, it shows me things a credit report won't, like old liens and judgments, past trouble with the law, and other things that reveal character. I can think of two very recent cases where one borrower had a federal tax lien that did not show up on his credit report, and when we saw it, he was able to produce an agreement between him and the IRS on payments to pay this debt off, and we counted it in his debt-to-income ratio. In the second case, we found an IRS tax lien and asked him for the payment schedule, and he disappeared. We felt we dodged a bullet on that one. There are many sources for running their background check. We use a company called TLO. It is owned by TransUnion. Their website is www.tlo.com. When you go to their website, look for the tab named Industries. Click on it, then click on the link for financial services, and there you will find all of the information that they provide in a search. We use what is called an advanced risk assessment, and it only costs $10. What a deal, huh? If you do not want to pull a credit report on your borrower, I would suggest that you have the borrower qualify with a score of at least 640. This will help them to be able to refinance out of your loan if they cannot sell the property. When looking at a credit report, please be aware that we do not put much validation on medical collections. It is not like the borrower went out and bought a boat and then stopped making payments on it. There is a lot to reading a credit report and underwriting regular mortgage loans. However, remember, we are making hard money asset-based loans. It is not like you are qualifying the borrower for an 80 or 90% loan-to-value loan or higher for a 30-year term. Also, as long as you keep your loan-to-values low at 60 to 70% LTV based on good solid values, then you should not have to hold hard and fast to the credit score to qualify your borrower. There are many sources to subscribe to for pulling credit on your borrower if you decide to run a credit report on your borrower. The three major credit reporting agencies are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. The information in your credit report is used to generate the three-digit credit scores. Since there are three credit reporting bureaus and the information collected by them can vary from bureau to bureau, your credit scores may also vary depending on which bureau they are used to ascertaining your credit history. Beyond that, there are many different credit scoring models or formulas which change from lender to lender. Credit and background check authorization document. On the next page, you will find an authorization that you can use to pull their credit or do a background check if you decide to do it for the borrower. Have your borrower pull their own credit. Even though we use background checks now instead of credit reports, we still have the borrower pull their own credit as part of the documentation they give to us. They go to a website such as freecreditreport.com, creditnav.com, truecredit.com, creditera.com. We do have them make sure to also receive their credit score with their report. When they simply send it to us to review as part of our underwriting process in case the background check missed anything. Then they simply send it to us to review as part of our underwriting process in case the background check missed anything. The best part about doing it this way is that we do not have to pay for the report or set up an account at any of the reporting agencies. Reserves. When we look at bank statements, we are making sure the borrower has enough money to pay the contractor to start the job. They can cover the closing cost out of pocket as well as 6 months worth of interest payments. We don't make exceptions on the cash on hand requirement. From my experience, I would say that only one out of every 100 rehabs will go off without a hitch, and cash on hand is important for the borrower to be able to take care of any unexpected expenses that come up during the rehab. Identify your borrower. We collect two forms of ID and keep them in their file to make sure they are who they say they are. I like to have their Social Security card and driver's license, even if for no other reason than to make them feel more on the hook for the loan. When I collect the retirement account information, it shows me how well they save and if they plan for the future. I can also see where they spend their money when I have the bank accounts in front of me. Is this a person who eats out every night? Do they have deposits that you can't really tell where they came from? Are there payments being deducted that they didn't tell me about in their debt to ratio column? I had an applicant whose debt to income ratio was very out of balance. He had two cars and each car payment was over $900 a month. His savings account was very low considering his income, and he had less than $5,000 in a retirement account. I told him I would be happy to loan him money if he reduced his monthly debt and had at least $20,000 in savings. 6 months later, he came back to me and showed me his new debt to income ratio. He sold both cars and bought used cars with cash, and he had $23,000 in cash in addition to $11,500 in his retirement. He showed me that he was very serious about becoming an investor and was willing to do what it takes to make it work. He completely changed his lifestyle. I had also given him a book called Your Money Counts by Howard Dayton. He said it changed his view on money completely. Quite frankly, it did the same for me, and that is why I recommend it. Self-employed borrowers. If they are self-employed, I want to see the borrower's last 2 years' tax returns. The reason I want the last 2 years' returns is to establish a pattern of income. If 1 year was great and the other they lost money, then I want to know why. Tax returns will also let me know how successful their former investments have been. If you are reviewing tax returns, please be sure to read through the entire return. I know it can be tough to get through them, however, it will help you to understand their business. You should also be aware that if they have a lot of deductions, it may appear that they do not make any money when in fact they do. This is another reason to get 2 years of returns so you can see if the deductions were a one-time thing or will show up on multiple returns. You could ask your CPA to take a look at the returns to see if they can tell you whether or not the borrower makes money. If you do, you will need to remove the personal information of the borrower on the return so the CPA doesn't know who the borrower is, as this could be a violation of privacy laws. How to verify a borrower's tax return. If you are not confident that your potential borrower has been truthful about their actual income, then you, as a lender, can request and receive a copy of their tax return from the IRS directly. You would typically do this when you have a self-employed borrower and you need to verify their actual income. You do this by having your borrower sign the IRS form 4506 and you send it directly to the IRS. Although this is possible and a good way to verify they are being truthful, in my opinion, if you feel you need to do this, then you probably shouldn't make them the loan anyway. It can also take a long time to get it back, and usually you do not have a long time to close on a hard money loan. I have included a copy of the IRS Form 4506 on your forms disk. Corporate documents. I also get a copy of their Articles of Organization, if an LLC, or Articles of Incorporation, if a corporation, operating agreement, and EIN number of the borrower's entity for many reasons. I go to the Secretary of State's website for the state they are incorporated in and look them up and print out a certificate of good standing from the Secretary of State website. This lets me know their entity has not been dissolved by the Secretary of State and that they pay their annual state taxes and file their state returns. I also print out a copy of their Articles of Organization or Incorporation. This will tell me who formed the entity and who is the organizer or incorporator. I want to make sure that my borrower is the one that formed the entity. If not, I need to make sure they can sign as a representative of the entity. In order to do this, I need them to give me a resolution from their corporate books indicating they are an authorized signer. I am checking on their articles to see how long they have been in business and will search their personal names to see if they are affiliated with any other companies currently or in the past on the Secretary of State website. These are all things that an underwriter would do, so why shouldn't a private lender? Corporate resolution document. Below, please find the corporate resolution we make sure they sign if they do not already have one. This gives them the authority to sign on behalf of their entity. I have created a resolution that we use for an LLC or a corporation. Whichever one they have, just delete the other name. For example, if they have an LLC, the word corporation will not be used in the document and vice versa. Trust. A trust is a simple, separate entity that provides privacy for the owner of that property. The reason someone would use a trust when investing is so that no one can actually find out who the owner of the property is if there were to be a lawsuit. When using a trust, there is a trust agreement which gives the details of the trust, and there is a trustee which is a natural person that signs all documents related to transactions involving the trust. Then there is a beneficiary. The beneficiary is the person that owns the beneficial interest of the trust. In other words, they will reap any benefits of the investment that the trust invests in. There is nowhere in the public that shows who the beneficiary is. This is the reason many people use trust for their investments. If the borrower is using a trust, I want a copy of that trust agreement to have in the file. I am not opposed to them using a trust as long as I have the trust information and am able to serve notice to the trustee if needed in the event of default. If you lend to someone who uses a trust, I would get a personal guarantee from the beneficiary and the trustee as trustee for the trust. This will protect you and help you if you have to foreclose if there is a deficiency. Creating your own trust for lending. I know of a lender that only makes hard money loans to a trust that he sets up for each property and borrower. He then makes himself and the borrower the co-beneficiary of the trust. He also has someone in his office that is the trustee. This way, he has some control over the borrower and the property. Employed borrowers. I will get their W-2s and most recent pay stub if they have a job because I want to see their real income. Notice I said most recent pay stub. Don't let them tell you they just don't have a recent pay stub. If they have a job and get W-2 income, I don't normally verify their income and employment by sending a verification of employment, or VOE, to their employer unless it appears to be out of line or out of date, or unless I just don't think they are being truthful with what they have presented to me. In all my years, I have only seen someone forge a W-2 or pay stub one time. With all of the computer technology, it would be very easy to do. Lending to foreign investors. Lending to a foreign investor can be tricky. You may have someone who lives in another country but is buying fix and flip houses from a local wholesaler. In order to make a loan to them, there are a couple of options available that I am familiar with, and I will go through them now. 1. Foreign investors can buy U.S. real estate without a U.S. bank account for sure. They can wire the funds to the closing agent, but the closing agent must report it to U.S. government. Typically, however, each country has their own procedure. Title to the property can be in the name of a foreign citizen or corporation. Another option is that a U.S. trust can hold the title with foreign beneficiaries. Foreign investors might have to pay U.S. taxes subject to tax treaties. There is an IRS website you can use to get more information. www.irs.gov/individuals/international-taxpayers/tax-treaties. This is complicated as different countries have different agreements with U.S. and it varies by type of income, etc. 2. Another alternative is to set up a new U.S. LLC by a U.S. citizen and sell majority interest to the foreign investors. A U.S. citizen can create an LLC for a specific property or investor and sell majority, or maybe all, of the beneficial interest to the foreign investor. B, the U.S. citizen would open a bank account for this LLC. C, the U.S. citizen could add a foreign citizen as a signatory to the account. This might be a bit complicated, but I think it's doable. You may have to go through special paperwork for U.S. government identifying foreign national. D, the foreign investor could then wire funds to the entity and buy U.S. real estate. E, the entity will be a U.S. entity with an EIN number and U.S. tax reporting requirements, but majority or all foreign owners. The second method is the most practical for investors who want to buy more than one property but takes a little more to set up but is easier to manage once it is set up. Also, having a U.S. LLC makes it easier to obtain not only hard money loans, but bank loans as well. The bottom line is this: if you are going to lend to a foreign investor, then you should consult a professional international tax accountant for sure. Dodd-Frank and other regulations. Because of Dodd-Frank rules that have come into effect, and because they really have not been tested in the courts yet, every private lender should be very careful with whom they lend to. Dodd-Frank is regulation that only applies to owner-occupied borrowers. For this reason, we make sure to have our borrowers sign an occupancy agreement, verifying that they will not be living in the property we are making a loan on, and that they know it is a commercial loan and not a consumer loan. There may be a possibility that lending to a person rather than an entity could also be misinterpreted as a residential consumer loan rather than a commercial loan. For this reason, we only lend to entities such as an LLC, corporation, or trust. Borrower's experience and character. When I am considering lending to someone, I am just as concerned about their experience and character as I am about their credit score. Remember this: people with good credit don't go bad overnight, and people with bad credit don't change their payment habits overnight either. In a sense, credit is a reflection of character. Now, I understand that bad things happen to good people. However, there is a certain amount of truth to the relationship between credit and character. I don't get the opportunity to meet all of my borrowers in person, but I do want to take the time to talk to them and find out as much as possible about them. I look up Facebook and LinkedIn pages for them. I am looking to see what their experiences in investing have been. I get them to show me other deals they have done and talk about the issues they had, what they learned, and how they handled it. Many investors got caught in the last crash and lost properties and much more. Those are the investors that have felt real pain. Pain tends to make us learn. That investor is usually a safer bet than someone with little or no experience. I like it when an investor tells me right up front about his pitfalls and how he pulled himself out of it. That investor has a healthy fear about what he is doing and normally will not take the same road downhill again. Overall, I am looking for someone with experience and character. Even if they have gone through hard times or lost money on properties in the past, I may make a loan if I feel they have learned from it and did the right thing through the process. The last thing I want is someone who will disappear on me or give up when things get tough, because they will get tough at some point. Rehabs never go as planned. Properties never sell as fast as expected, and you never make as much money as you thought you would on a deal. Now, this is not always true, obviously. However, you need to be thinking this way when making a loan to someone. Exit strategy. The scariest investor is the one that comes to me and tells me he already has an owner-occupied buyer in place and they are customizing the house to their taste. This almost never works out. Loans fall through all the time, especially from retail buyers that are going to live in the house. I want to hear about the borrower's exit strategies. Notice I said that in the plural form. There should be more than one exit strategy. Everyone needs a plan B. Their plan A may be to fix and flip the property. However, if the property doesn't sell, they need a plan B. Their plan B could be to refinance out of the hard money loan and rent the property out until the market changes. They also need a plan B, which includes paying you off. Some lenders will want to see a full company performa. They will want to see every deal completed and the margins of profit along with the average time frame it took to complete and resell. If the borrower is not keeping a record of these numbers, then the borrower is not running a business, but is practicing a hobby. I am not saying that your borrower needs to keep an elaborate spreadsheet with all of their detailed numbers down to every nail purchased and hour they own the property. However, I am saying that if you are loaning money to a borrower that knows their numbers, then they will be more on top of their deal, which means they will be more on top of your money. Compensating factors. Sometimes you have a situation where some of the borrower or property doesn't look good as far as your underwriting. However, there are other things that offset the negative. If there is enough of what I call compensating factors, then I will go ahead and make the loan. Below are some examples of compensating factors. The borrower has bad credit, but I am only loaning 40% LTV. The borrower doesn't have any rehab experience, but their credit is good, they have good reserves, and the property only needs paint and carpet. The borrower doesn't have good credit, but has $50,000 in the bank. Notice that all of the compensating factors have to do with the borrower and not the property. I would never make a loan if I wasn't 100% satisfied with the property I was loaning on. Never make a loan unless you would buy the property for the price of your loan amount. Also, there is one thing you cannot change about the property, and that is the location. Remember this when underwriting your loans. Interviewing the borrower. In addition to all the information you will be collecting on the borrower from the credit application and other documentation, you will also want to talk to the borrower to get a good idea of their experience and character. After collecting the information and talking to the borrower, you should get a good feel for whether or not you want to make them a loan or not. Remember to talk to them in a conversational manner. This is not an interview or interrogation. You want to get to know the borrower. Below is a list of questions that you can ask a borrower that will help determine whether or not to make them a loan. How much money do you need to borrow? Describe your project. How long do you need the money for? How much of your money can you invest into the project? What is your exit strategy? How will you repay the loan if you can't sell the property? How soon will you need to close? Where did you get the property? What kind of experience do you have rehabbing houses? How many rehabs have you done? How did they turn out? Have you ever borrowed hard money? If so, from who? If so, can I get a reference from them? If so, why aren't they lending you money for this one? Borrower Commitment Letter Document. Once you have approved the borrower and have verified what you need to, then you can send the borrower a loan commitment letter.